Good morning. I presume most people speak English. I will first say a few words in English and then I will do a summary in Czech. Great pleasure to be here with you today in this International Solidarity Conference. The first one I recall attending was in 2002, when many of you may be here gathered in Delhi as well. This is the 10th anniversary of the referendum that happened almost unexpectedly in August 99, because for many of us, many of you, though inspired by the best ideals, the profoundest convictions, it was a dream. The odds were still insurmountable. I will not elaborate on that. 10 years later, you are here, according to your agenda, to look at how the international solidarity movement can continue to support Timor-Leste in this new phase of the situation in Timor-Leste. I met the very, very first individuals who were dragged into the solidarity movement in June 74 in Indonesia. The very first people I met following the Portuguese National Revolution, 1874, were Indonesians. My first trip abroad on behalf of the then Associação Social Democrata Timorense, ASCT, was to Jakarta. Who did I meet there? I met George Adejondo. First time ever in my life, I was put on the cover of a magazine, Tempo magazine. If you go to Tempo magazine, June 74, you will find me on the front cover. I was a totally unknown entity. I traveled in Jakarta, in Becha, in motorcycles. I was carried around by an Indonesian journalist called Hari Kalilan, who is coming in the next few days to visit. I went to visit Adam Malik, not in a limousine, not even a taxi, on the best seat of Hari Kalilan motorbike. Not great diplomatic, I would say, protocol. Adam Malik was at the gate of his house, looking at me, totally surprised. He thought he was receiving a very important dignitary from Timor. Instead, I arrived with his long-haired Indonesian journalist. Hari was working at the time for Sina Harapan. And then one day I was taken to a lunch in somewhere in suburbs of Jakarta. A whole group of Indonesian students and some academics were leaving for the United States to study. So these were the very, unlike what many people might think, that our first concern was Australia, was the United States. No, I went to Indonesia. And that's where some of the first contacts were made. In July, went to Australia. And who I met in Australia? Comrade Dennis Freeney, a member of the Australian Communist Party. And I tell you frankly, I didn't know he was a member of the Australian Communist Party. Soon after, I was immediately labeled a communist. And well, over the years, slowly, gradually, a movement began to develop in Australia. You know, United States was far more difficult. But it didn't begin, the Soviet movement didn't begin in the streets of New York or any street in the US. Some of the greatest people I ever met in my life, with great conscience as human beings, were, I found them in the US Congress, in the US Senate. And today, as I speak to you here, I pay tribute to one of the greatest human beings I ever met in my life, and who have made the greatest contribution ever to his own country and to the world, and that is Senator Edward Kennedy. Without any one single constituency on Timor in the United States, in Massachusetts, any knowledge about Timor, Ted Kennedy was among the very first to take an interest on Timor. Maybe because of his Irish background. And then another, a young congressman, he had just been elected, now senator, many of you here from the US know him well, Senator Tom Harkin. And often when he spoke out on Timor, some of his young colleagues in the Congress wondered what the hell he's talking about. There is not a single Timorese in Iowa. Why is he so worried about Timor? You know, because traditionally, if you want to lobby on Israel, easy. If you want to lobby on some Greek issues against Turkey, we have a very big Greek constituency in the United States, some members of Congress who have a Greek background, so you have automatic constituencies there. On Timor, no such constituency in the beginning. Only in the 90s, we have some Portuguese Americans from Rhode Island, Massachusetts, start pushing. So my point is to say, the solidarity movement cut across political spectrum. From street fighters, lonely demonstrators like Robert Smith, there was a newspaper article once in Northern Territory News when an Indonesian delegation went to Darwin because Rob called some Timorese last minute to do a demonstration, all of them rejected, and Robert Smith, undefeated, did the demonstration alone. And the newspaper said, the lonely demonstrator. Well, because I have only 10 minutes, I cannot elaborate too much because it could, your work, those who are present here and those who are not, from so many shades of political opinion across the world, would make a beautiful book, a book of humanity. How many of you, and many are no longer alive today, they passed away, they spent years after years, day after day, devoted to this distant cause. I remember Michel Robert, professor at Sorbonne in France. He passed away alone in an apartment in Paris. And many others, like Dennis Freeman, passed away. So, and the solidarity movement also, I have to acknowledge the tremendous contribution of the UN Bishops Conference. Instrumental over the years in influencing members of Congress and the White House, the State Department. Or Bishop Paul Moore, who came much later in the 90s. But long before that and after that, the UN Bishops Conference stood out as the most important moral force. They didn't do state demonstrations, they didn't do it every day, but strategically, whenever necessary, we approached them and they would make the point contact to do some changes. And some journalists, some of the best editorial writers ever on Timor, anywhere in the world, you found it in the New York Times, in Washington, New York. Karl Mayer. If you review the New York Times going back to 75, or particularly 75 to the 90s, when there was very little around the world, you will find occasional editorial in the New York Times with a conscience about Timor-Leste by this journalist, Karl Mayer. And who lobbied him, who educated him? Arno Cohen, who is not here today, working silently behind the scenes for all his life. Today we have among us a matriarch of the solidarity movement, Carmen Budiaccio. She was like a mother, a grandmother. I used to stay in her house, but then gave up. I no longer wanted to stay in her house because she would make us work till midnight, 1 in the morning. We were tired, falling asleep, and Carmen Budiaccio was still strong, working. So the following times, whenever I was told to say Carmen Budiaccio, I said, no, I'm not staying with her. And many other young Timorese, like Josefa Mourinho, they all told me the same. No, she make us work till midnight, 1, 2 in the morning.
She would make you work until 1.
I cite only a few names, you know. It doesn't mean I ignore everybody else, but just to illustrate the wide spectrum of the solidarity movement, from left to right, from secular to religious groups, east and west. I started with Indonesia because it was the unexpected referendum that I mentioned took place in August 99 came about because Indonesian students, Indonesian people went to the streets and brought about the changes. If it were not for that, the window of opportunity for a referendum would have to wait much longer. So, as I said, unexpected. But the moment the Indonesian students, Indonesian society brought down the Suwar dictatorship, after 3 decades, then the window of opportunity emerged, but it emerged also because you have created the conditions around the world for us to exploit that window of opportunity. If you have not worked in so many different ways, there will be no political awareness, a conscious about Timor-Leste. And that window of opportunity would be lost. So I thank you very much from the bottom of my heart for many of you. Some of you are too young for me to have met in the 70s and 80s. So you didn't offer me your couch, but many of you, I slept in your couch around the world. I slept in the couch of Dennis Freeney in Sydney. I slept in Robert Wesley Smith's apartment in Darwin. I don't want to embarrass him, but it was the most disorganized apartment I've seen in my life. Piles and piles of newspaper articles like this. And many of you had asked when we had even no money to travel. You gave us home, you gave us a couch. I was given three taxi rides by Jeff there, Jeff Lee, and all kinds of work needs that we have, we came to you all these years. Now the country is free, independent. We know you are going to take a critical look at what we are doing. But what is new? Because even back then we had some differences on not only strategic goal of a free independent distributor, but how to walk towards that. What alliances we can make. What tactical moves were correct or incorrect. Because you people always had a very critical mind, and maybe that's the health of it. That is what is kept this movement growing even stronger. So feel free to question us, to ask us questions, because you earn this right. You put years and years of your lives for this dream. You have the moral responsibility, the right to ask the leaders of today where you are going, where you are taking your country. It doesn't mean you're always right. Some of you think you are like the Pope, infallible. But that, again, is totally acceptable. I also have this bad habit. I think I'm infallible when I talk. But half of the times I'm proven wrong. So we welcome your comments, your criticism. In terms of what, where the country should go now, you ask the solidarity movement. I think you will you know the country well enough, inside out. You know very well where, how you can best help. So I will not make any comments on that. But I know I see here in the room one person, a former diplomat that I have to acknowledge. I during one of the APEC meetings in Japan, as usual, even when I'm not invited to a meeting, who would invite me to an APEC meeting? I made myself invited. So I went to this APEC meeting in Osaka. Of course, I was kept many, many kilometers away from the site. Japanese government was very, very gracious, providing me with secret services. God, they're everywhere. And I thought, well, I'm very important. I have this Japanese secret service escorting me all the time. I made contact with a Canadian diplomat. His name has been given to me. I was told he's a great individual with a conscience, and you should meet with him. And so we met clandestinely in a bar in Tokyo. I really was touched by, impressed by my meeting with him. And that is Colin Stewart speaking. So, and I don't want to forget Jim Dunn. He should be here. He's now in his 80s. He's coming in the next few days. I asked him to come. He's one of those persons who working in the establishment and sacrificed his career. He was very much persecuted, hunted by the establishment for speaking out his conscience on his demon. Dear friends, brothers and sisters, God bless you. I thank